Jerry Bader Show, 1036. We did not talk about this, but there's so much stuff going on. Chris Mortensen of ESPN reported on Sunday that the NFL is urgently discussing a new playoff format. Are you aware of this, Jason? Did you hear Mortensen's report at all, or what is being proposed? It would include a three-game preseason, so you'd knock one game off on the preseason, and then you go with that 16-game regular season, and then a seventh playoff team from each conference. They're looking at a couple of possibilities. The league just here, they're looking at where the league decides to pit the sixth and seventh seeded teams against each other in a play-in week, giving the other teams a bye week prior to the wild card round. So they would borrow from Major League Baseball. I don't know. I think it works better in football than it does baseball. I think it's stupid in baseball because all you've done is taken away an automatic series from the existing wild card. So I have a problem with that. The only issue with that plan would be giving top two seeds 2 weeks off, which would be a long playoff. They're probably what they would do, only the top seed would get a first round bye. Even if they go with another format. What was the other? Basically, it would create another round. But then the top seed would only get the bye. I don't know. To me, you want to be careful. You don't want to become the NBA, where pretty much everybody that gets 35 to 40 wins in an 82-game season gets in the playoffs. I'm exaggerating a little, but not much. Jason says, no, not really. No, really not. I need to think more about this. I don't know how I feel about this. I do like getting rid of the preseason game because it's become so stupid. The fourth game is completely meaningless. Well, it's not completely meaningless. Guys trying to make the team. So that would put a little pressure on teams. They wouldn't get that final look at guys on the bubble. But you don't play your starters. And it would change the strategy in the three preseason games that remain. All right. Time to make a pick. As some of you may know, I have a friendly charity bet with listener Craig. Craig talks smack, said I shouldn't talk about sports, know anything about it. So I said, all right, dude, let's pick the Packers for the rest of the season. His charity is Ronald McDonald House. Mine, of course, Families of Children with Cancer. And what happens is the loser pays $500 to the winner's charity. The winner pays $250 to the loser's charity. So everybody wins. Craig and I are tied. We're a horse apiece. We didn't do week one. Going into this week, Craig has made his pick. He picks the Lions. It's the Packers. He picks the Packers, 34-28. So that's he picks the Packers by six, correct? Yeah, Packers by six. And, yeah, 28 and six is 34. He picks the Packers by six. And the line is seven. Packers by seven. Clay Matthews is playing. Morgan Burnett is playing. Defense should be better. This game terrifies me. I have grave concerns about this game. And I'm going to be perfectly honest. I should pick the Lions. My pick is the Lions, but I can't bring myself to do it. I just can't. I should. I can't. I just can't. But I think the Lions are going to win. I can't bring myself to pick that, however. Here's why. I just can't believe it would be true. The Lions would be 4-1, 3-0 in the division. They have not had their bye yet, whereas the Packers did last week. They'd be 3-0 in the NFC North. The Packers would be 1-3, 0-1 in the NFC North. You wouldn't see much chance of them catching the Lions. Given that there's a bet on the line, albeit for charity, I should pick with my head, but I just can't. And in fact, I'm going to be even crazier than that. I'm going to go with the Packers by a wider margin than Craig picks them. I'm going to say 34-24 Green Bay. Craig, I don't have my tiebreaker game yet. I will email it to you. We actually had to go to the tiebreaker, I believe. I believe Craig won it on the tiebreaker 2 weeks ago. So that is what I think is going to happen there. I'm going to talk guns for a moment. I have three very interesting stories on guns. Of course, the police chase in Washington ended with gunfire near the Capitol. An obviously disturbed woman was ultimately shot by police, ran through a barricade. Tragic story. Again, a person with obvious severe mental illness involved in a shooting. So there are two principal elements there, the mental illness and the gun. The only way to take the gun out of the element is to ban all guns in America. That's not going to happen. The other way then is to take more seriously when someone is involved, when a mentally ill person is involved with these, because we have to deal with guns have been here for a long, long time. And I don't care what anyone says, these shootings involving someone who is mentally ill are growing. That leads me to believe that we have a mental illness problem. And no, it's not Ronald Reagan's fault. That was 30 years ago. Many of the people we're talking about involved weren't born. But here's something interesting. And I mentioned this to some of you earlier in the show. A network news reporter for, I believe it was CBS Radio, pointed out that some people wanted to know, why didn't police try to shoot out her tires? Because that's not what police do. In a fluid and dangerous situation like that, yeah, if you could keep the perpetrator alive, that's what you would hope for. But when public safety is at risk, I'm sorry, public safety comes before her safety. You have to pick one or the other. And believing you could shoot the tires out is someone who's watched way too much TV. That's what that is. Item two. An Arizona police officer was asked not to wear his uniform at his daughter's school. You know why? You know why? Because people were afraid he had a gun. Are you kidding me? Well, if he's a uniform officer, then he's probably got his gun, and that makes me nervous. People have become so neurotic about guns. By the way, this was parents, not the school officials. People have become so neurotic about guns that they can't they don't like the thought of an armed police officer. Unless you are completely irrational, an armed police officer in a school should make you feel safer. You would think, well, we don't like the idea he might have a gun. This is what it has come to. This is how effective the anti-gun crowd and the mainstream media have gotten in demonizing guns. Well, he's got it. All guns are bad, even in the hands or holster of a trained police officer. There is no such thing as a good or bad gun. There are good and bad people. You don't even trust a cop to have a gun? Well, then maybe we should just take these people who feel that way. Do they think we should take all guns from cops? Because if he makes you uncomfortable with a gun in school, then you should be equally uncomfortable with him as a gun on the street, right? This is just, it is, I'm telling you, the PR campaign by the left and the mainstream media has been damned effective. People actually think a police officer with a gun is a dangerous thing in a school. He couldn't believe that the school asked him not to wear his uniform. Fox News has the story. Scott Yurkov is a police officer from the Coolidge Police Department in Arizona. The department told him not to comment to media inquiries, but immediately after he received the no uniform request at his daughter's school because other parents were concerned he was carrying a gun, he posted on Facebook. "Nothing like your kid's school calling and asking if I could not come to pick up my daughter in uniform because parents were concerned when their kids came home telling them there was a man at school with a gun." Come on. They did not. And they didn't mention it was a police officer? Come on. "Are you freaking kidding me?" he wrote. His daughter attends Entz Elementary School, which is in the Mesa Unified School District. A district spokeswoman told the station that some parents voiced concern about seeing a fully armed police officer on the school's campus. The spokeswoman apologized that Yurkov perhaps took the discussion the wrong way. He didn't understand what we meant. It's always that way. It's always that way. Then there's this. I received this from a listener, and the listener asked that I not identify him. But I want to share the story. He said, "I'm not saying the story should be told on the air, but if you were to, I would ask you keep my name out of it." I do think it needs to be shared on the air, and I will keep his name out of it. A friend and I were driving from Plover to Stevens Point to fix his car that was parked across from the Stevens Point Brewery. On our way there, a younger man got a little case of road rage with me. I'm 30 years old. This guy was maybe 20. I wasn't putting up with his attitude. Any kind of just fueled his fire by brake checking him. When he finally got to my friend's car, this guy followed us into the parking lot. When he got next to us, I yelled out that I didn't have time for any of his bull and he best just be on his way. He then pulled a hook-style dagger on my friend and I. I got my concealed carry about a year ago and carry every day. When he came towards my buddy and I with that hook dagger, I did two things. I grabbed my phone and called 911 and started to reach for my handgun. I warned 911 that I was a carrier and I wouldn't hesitate to do what I have to do to protect myself. The Stevens Point Police Department showed up within seconds and swarmed the area, and I'm not sure what he got out of the deal, but according to one of the officers, he had been in trouble in the past for violent crimes and was fresh out of jail. Then the cop told me this young man just had a daughter. I have to admit, when I got my concealed carry, I never thought I would need it. If this guy would have come to me like a man wanting to go toe-to-toe, I would have been happy to do that. But when he pulled the knife, I was glad to know I wouldn't have to just rely on 911. After the incident, I was pretty shook up, knowing that things could have gotten worse. I couldn't stand the thought of possibly having to shoot someone or even pull my weapon to scare someone. What kept crossing my mind was that if he would have kept coming at me with an intent of harming me, I would have done what I had to do. But knowing that I possibly could have made his daughter grow up without a father bugged me. I'm glad things turned out the way they did that day. I still carry every day and wouldn't hesitate to use it. But this experience was an eye-opener for me. Just felt like I had to share this with you. Thank you for your time. Keep up the good work. He did pretty much everything right. Now, he did. Brake checking the guy wasn't a smart thing to do. Lesson number one. You never know who you're inciting. Now, I'm not blaming him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming the emailer. I used to be that way. Every once in a rare while, you still are, Jason. Every once in, yes. But Jason, as you know, I've worked very hard not to be that way. And sometimes you do have weak moments. That's the type of person, for the most part, nothing is ever 100%. That's the type of person, for the most part, that concealed carries in Wisconsin. Someone who wants it if they need it and knows how it's going to affect them profoundly if they ever have to use it. His thought was, my God, what if I left that child an orphan, or at least without a father? You wouldn't have. He would have. But I understand how you feel. That's the type of person more often than not that conceal carries in Wisconsin. All right, let's try to get to a few more things, including, do you have a constitutional right to handle poisonous snakes? See if I can get to that one. It's 10:51.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.